Four, please. Now, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Four, Please, Now Driving, the official Masters podcast. I'm your host, Marty Smith. We'll be recording all week long here on property, here at Augusta National Golf Club, discussing the Masters Tournament with some of your favorite celebrities, athletes, and entertainers. This is Saturday, April 13th, moving day. On today's episode, we'll chat with Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen and New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold about what it's like going to the Masters as just another patron and the similarities between quarterbacks and golfers. We'll also have a conversation with CBS reporter Amanda Baliones about interviewing the golfers as soon as they finish their round. So without delay, let's turn off of Washington Road, proceed down the famed Magnolia Lane, and get to it. Moving day at Augusta National provided tremendous golf for the patrons. Francesco Molinari leads the tournament now at 13 under par, following a 6 under 66 on Saturday. Two strokes behind him, Tony Finau and Tiger Woods. Finau shoots an 8 under 64, and Woods continues to captivate the world with yet another fantastic performance to put himself in contention for his first green jacket since 2005. One other key storyline heading into Sunday, the weather. Start times have been adjusted, moved to the morning, and golfers will play in threesomes. The final grouping, Tiger, Tony, and Francesco, will tee off at 9:20 a.m. Eastern Time. Before we get to NFL quarterbacks Josh Allen and Sam Darnold and CBS reporter Amanda Baliones, let's bring back the voice of Masters Digital and NBC reporter Jimmy Roberts. Jimmy, first, Francesco Molinari emerges late in his round to take a two-stroke lead going into Sunday. What are your impressions of Molinari's finish?
You know, I got to say this. We end up always talking about Tiger, and it's not fair to a lot of people in golf. I mean, Tiger kind of seizes the discussion by the throat no matter what he does. But it's probably, you know, Molinari, what he has done in major championships and big events in the last year, it's just stunning. When he won the Open Championship last year, he went the last 37 holes without a bogey.
Amazing. Okay?
And those, you know, Carnoustie is just about the toughest golf course in the world. Jack Nicklaus told me it's the toughest major championship venue that exists. He played the last two-plus rounds without a bogey. So now, he's had one bogey this week at the Masters. It's, you know, he is as impressive a major championship player right now as you could possibly be. And, you know, he just goes about his business. The biggest deal about him is his putting. And what he said the other day, you know, it's just amazing. Listen to this. You know, so he used to be known as a great ball striker. And his brother, Eduardo, who won the U.S. Amateur at Marion, and he caddied for his brother, okay? His brother was always known as the really good putter, and he was. The knock on Francesco was that he was never really going to be an elite player or never really going to reach his potential unless he could make his putting better. So listen to what he said about reconstructing his putting. I've changed pretty much everything that you can think of. We started with the setup because I used to stand more upright. Now I'm crouching more down towards the ball. My putter path used to be a lot more in to out. Now it tends to be a lot more neutral. I've changed my tempo. I've changed putters, putter shape. I used to have a line on the putter. Now I have a dot on the top instead. Molinari said that the only thing that he could do, which would be more radical to change his putting style, would be to putt left-handed. So this guy is just completely he was one of the best players in the world, and he just turned his putting stroke upside down, and this is what the result is.
The mental aspect of the game has been vital for him, too. He rewrote that definition as well, hired Dave Allred, started working with him, and completely changed the way he practices. He now makes practice a series of personal competitions against himself, and he says that then thereby prepares him for what tournament play is like. It's a completely different approach to practice, and it's certainly showing up now as he will enter Sunday at the Masters as the leader with a two-stroke lead over Tony Finau, who shot an 8 under 64 on Saturday and the man that you discussed off the top, the Tiger Woods. Finau and Woods tied at 11 under, two strokes back of Molinari. Both of those men had phenomenal rounds on Saturday. Let's start with Finau before we get to Tiger Mania. What a tremendous round for Tony Finau. Nearly equals the course record.
You know, he's a guy who has found his equilibrium. He's enormously talented. Length matters here at this course. I mean, it matters a lot. Shorter clubs into some of these hole locations. And don't be fooled. Today were some of the more difficult hole locations you will ever see. It was one of the lowest scoring days in the history of Augusta National. Now, there were some other factors, I think, that played into it. But really remarkable. And Tony Finau has just got exactly the type of game that I think could really, really... It could work here. I mean, it does work here. I mean, it, you know, kind of goes without saying, but the knock on Tony has been that he, when he gets hot, he goes very, very low, but he hasn't finished an awful lot.
Right.
And that's going to be something that he has to, you know, get over. Everybody's got their mountain to climb, you know?
It'll be very interesting to see if he can do that on Sunday. All right, man, let's discuss Tiger. This is just amazing to watch. It is almost vintage. It's tremendous to see the performances he's putting together throughout the weekend here, and certainly Saturday was no different. What do you make of what you saw from Tiger?
It was remarkable, and especially since he didn't really get started until until he was midway through the first nine. Listen, he was dynamic. You know, the thing that continues to amaze me about the guy is that he's Tiger Woods, okay? As Roger Maltby once said, he's just better than everybody else, okay? And that may not necessarily still be the case. He was fantastic today, but he has been this week so incredibly fortunate. Of all the fairways that he's missed, and some of them he has missed terribly, he's even par on the holes where he's missed the fairway. Now, we're talking about two straight days where he missed the fairway on 14. One, he was deep in the woods, and he birdied the hole. Now, a lot of that has to do with his skill, you know, and it's not just luck that, you know, the ball bounces this way or that way. He manufactures some great stuff, but, you know, he has been fortunate in some of the bounces this week. That said, his putting was, he looked like the Tiger of old today.
I know, it was vintage. It was phenomenal.
And that's the thing, you know, you win here if you putt well here. That's the way this works. You know, everybody hits it a mile. So I really don't know what to say. He's never won a major championship coming from behind. But don't think for a minute that that people aren't thinking about him. The thing is that some of the people who are in front of him are people he inspired.
Absolutely.
And that's a big deal.
I love what Tony Finau said in his post-round press conference about the potential at the time that he might be paired with Tiger on Sunday. What he said is this about what he's learned from Tiger Woods. Tiger taught our generation how to compete. Don't fear anybody. He was scared of nobody, and we all wanted to be like him. So that sums up extremely well what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's just so fun.
Well, listen, take a look at Brooks Koepka. You know, I mean, he's a total flatliner at this point. Just a total flatliner at this point. And, you know, he just looks like, you know, there may be no air here, but he's breathing normally.
Yep.
And I think that anybody who's ever played sports, anybody who's ever been in a big spot and felt the adrenaline rush understands that at the biggest moments, the most important thing is to just be in possession of all of your faculties. And it just appears to me, and the results have borne this out over the last 2 years, that Brooks Koepka is not a man who is overwhelmed by the moment.
No, no, no. And he thrives at the largest of moments and on the biggest of stages. One last thing,
yeah.
and we'll wrap this up.
I could stay here all night and talk, by the way.
It's very fun.
Isn't it?
We do have a very unique dynamic as we enter Sunday, and that being that the tournament has been moved up due to the potential of inclement weather.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start in a very unique way. Threesomes to start. Mm-hmm. They're starting on 1 and 10. What impact do you think the earlier start will have?
Well, I don't Well, first of all, one of the most challenging things about being the leader at a major championship or any golf tournament, really, is that, you know, your routine has you up in the morning. And you get up in the morning and you go out and you play golf, you practice, you work out, you do whatever you do, right? But if you're the leader of a major championship, you don't tee off till 3-something in the afternoon. That's a lot of time to cool your heels and think about what's at stake. That doesn't exist now.
That's right.
You know, these guys are all up early. You can take that out of the equation. But there's another kind of smaller factor, which I think is going to be enormous. Threesomes. You know, the fact that it's not just one guy looking at another guy. You know, the fact that they're going to be, you know, I'm thinking that depending on who you are and what you're about, it may be a little bit more comfortable threesomes rather than twosomes. But take a look at that last group now. So the last group is Tiger, Tony, and Molinari. Well, we know that Molinari, he's already shown us that he's not going to be nervous. We know what Tiger's about. And I would imagine that Finau's in the same place. And I'm not saying it's going to be a love fest, but I do think that there's going to be, I just think the whole dynamic with the three ball early on a Sunday is just a whole lot less, I don't know what the right word is, I'd have to think about it, but I just think it's a little bit easier.
It was interesting, too, back to Finau's post-round press conference, he said, there is absolutely a Tiger effect. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to you guys like that doesn't exist because it absolutely exists. And he said he grew up dreaming about being in the final pairing or threesome in this context with Tiger Woods his entire life. And he's going to have that shot. Jimmy, thank you so much for your insight, brother. It's fantastic.
Marty, I can't wait till tomorrow night when we can sit here and figure it all out in retrospect.
Now it's time for my conversation with NFL quarterbacks Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. I've always wondered what it's like for athletes at the absolute pinnacle of their sports to watch and admire athletes at the peak of their respective sport. That's just one of several topics I discussed with Sam and Josh here at the Masters. Here they are, New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold and Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. It is a distinct pleasure for me to welcome to the Four Please Now Driving official Masters podcast, New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold, Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. We're going to start with golf. Last year, I had the great opportunity to hit a few balls with your colleagues, I guess competitors is a better word, Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan, and they can stripe it. You guys, how would you describe your golf game?
I'm not very good. I've only played a few times in my whole life, but being out here is amazing. I know Josh is a lot better than I am.
We went out today. We went to Augusta Country Club, and I'd never seen Sam swing before. And I mean, I've lived in the off season with him, and I've been out golfing. Me and Kyle went out golfing. He never came with us, so I was very worried what I was about to see. Dude got out there and he ripped it. Like, looked really good for what I was expecting. Like, blew my mind away.
We're being way too nice to each other right now. I don't like this.
Okay, that's enough of the kindness.
But
let me hear the truth.
Two mats that you played with, I don't want to hear that.
They're studs though on the course, huh? I've heard they're both.
They can stripe it.
Yeah.
They can really stripe it. So, Josh, I know I saw you here last year, so you've had the true full Masters experience. Yep. I'm going to let you go first. How would you describe what the Masters experience is like?
It's the greatest sporting event that you can go to. Like, that's my honest opinion, and just as far as interaction with people, obviously you don't have your phones here, so people are very tuned in to what's happening. There's no electronics. You can follow players. You can sit at certain spots and watch players go through. And as they put their numbers on the scoreboard, it's just like you're just waiting. It's that anxiety of not knowing, especially, you know, I was waiting for Tiger to come up on 16 the other day and just not knowing what his score was. And then finally, you know, seeing that red 2 was pretty sweet. And everybody in the stands goes a little crazy, like in their own sense. But it's my favorite place to be.
Sam, you're 30 minutes from walking in the gates for the first time. How would you describe what you've seen so far?
It's so cool. I mean, even what Josh just said at the end, like, it's really cool to just be able to walk the course and super green, very beautiful. It was just an amazing experience. And like Josh said, I really like how everyone's just tuned in and glued into kind of what's going on, and there's no phones or anything. I would agree with Josh. So far, it's one of the best sporting events that I've ever been to.
I imagine there's not very many places you guys can go now where you just can hang, mm-hmm. where you aren't asked for pictures, you aren't asked for autographs, you aren't bothered. I'd hate to use the word bothered, but you aren't bothered. What's it like to be able to be among the people and enjoy being among the people?
It's awesome. You know, and like I said, so there's no phones, there's none of that going on. So you don't have to really have your guard up, I would say. Like, it's kind of a tricky situation, but you get to talk to people and you get to interact with people, and some people will notice you, and it just kind of creates a little connection, and it's not like they're wanting anything bad for them. They just want to talk to you, you know. And it's weird because we went to the U.S. Open last year, and it was kind of different. You know, you can have your phones out. I mean, Sam, especially Sam, because it was at Shinnecock Hills,
sure.
which is right around Sam's neighborhood. So he was getting stopped quite a bit, pictures and autographs and this and that. And but it's here's a little different. Like, we come for the golf. Nobody comes to see who is spectating here. We come to see the spectacular views of all the holes here and some great golf.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, it's don't get me wrong, like, I love the fans. I love interacting with the fans and, you know, taking pictures and all that. But, I mean, it's so nice to just get away and, you know, have that time that, you know, to just spend with, you know, people, you know, your friends, all that. And just to be able to talk to someone, have a face-to-face conversation, you know, no phones, like everyone's been saying. It's just cool to just kind of hang out and have a good time here.
It's a wonderful spirit. You're paying attention to the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying attention to your friends. You're having a fellowship together because you're not distracted.
Correct.
And that is beautiful. You know, you noted Tiger. What's it like as professional athletes yourselves at the pinnacle of your sports to come out to watch other guys at the pinnacle of their sport on this type of stage and see the way that they perform under this type of pressure?
Unreal. Unreal. Like, I don't know. I love watching golf. I've been a fan for a long time, but actually seeing it live and how they shape their shots, it's hard to believe that they can do that so consistently and put the ball where they want to put it. And they go on a practice range and they're, you know, 5 yards within each other, whatever they're putting out there. So just like the detail, the attention that goes into every single shot, you know, they're looking at their notes before, you know, approaching the green, and there's a lot of detail. And as young quarterbacks, we can, you know, take note from
that
and apply that to our game as well.
It's extremely applicable to the cerebral part of your jobs. You guys have to process so much so quickly so that you're in the right play and executing properly. How do you feel like that compares to their pre-round preparations?
Yeah, I think it's very comparable, you know, to what we have to do. Getting ready for, you know, a game, and during the week, we kind of, you know, got to figure out what kind of coverage are they playing, you know, are they playing a cover two, or is it Tampa where the mic's getting over the top? Do we have to kind of put a little more arc on that ball to try to fit it in the seam there? And like kind of those shots that they have to make, you know, watching on TV, you don't understand how many hills there are here and, how hard it is to actually play here, but just witnessing here in real life and being able to kind of see the course and how much these golfers have, you know, how many obstacles they have to go through on their way to the hole. It's pretty amazing to kind of see them go at it. And, yeah, it's just super interesting, and I'm looking forward to going out there and watching some more.
What are your thoughts on that comparison?
Very, very applicable, like you said. Sam said the obstacle deal and just how they kind of prepare for every shot, and I touched on that a little earlier, but it's unreal, like how the swing is. It's hard to do, you know, but for them it's second nature, just like throwing is second nature for us. They've got swing coaches, we have throwing coaches, you know. The key difference, though, they're more internal conflict, right? We got guys chasing after us. They got to obviously react to course conditions, weather, but there's an art to it, you know. Do I fly and try to hit the backside of the green and let it roll back? Do I play this hill? There's just a lot that goes into it, and it's the art aspect, like Sam was saying, whether it's a touch ball, a layer ball, like where do I need to put it so my receiver has the best chance to catch it.
Right. I think there's also a ton of pressure just for us. I mean, we got 10 other guys that are playing with us on the offensive side of the ball. Like, they're out there by themselves. You know, they got so much pressure, so many people watching them on the course.
Guys crowding the tee box. We went out today, and I was putting the ball down. My hand was shaking. There was four people out there watching. You know? I'm like, oh, shoot.
It's different, man. I mean, just watching them, it's – yeah, like playing golf with my buddies, you know, I still get nervous just trying to, you know, hit it as best I can, just because, you know, I haven't practiced a ton, you know, I don't I'm not very good at golf, so I can only imagine. I mean, obviously these guys are the best in the world, but you know, to kind of see them go, you know, approach a tee box and all those people are crowding, I can only imagine the, you know, the feelings that go through their body and their mind as well.
Tiger will tell you that every single tournament he enters, he is extremely nervous on the first tee box, mm-hmm. even still, arguably the greatest of all time. How often do you guys still have nerves when you're heading into the arena?
I think nerves are supernatural, and I think they're really, really good to have. I feel like if you're not nervous, something's wrong with you. You know, if you're heading into a big event. I know for me, I still get really nervous before games, but I think it's definitely a good thing. And at the end of the day, I think nerves are kind of what guide you to play your best, honestly, because if you're not nervous and you feel like, oh, you might not have anything to lose and you're just kind of, you don't really care. I think there's a lot more to lose there than if, you know, you're super nervous. So
one of the things that separates the greatest out here in the Masters versus the rest of the field is the ability to replicate a swing.
Mm.
Same mechanics all the time. That's another thing that you guys can relate to in your professions as NFL quarterbacks. What is that challenge like? To be the same motion all the time, make sure your throws are true in that fashion.
Well, when there's nobody rushing at you, it's very easy. You know? But when you're in the pocket, you're moving around, you feel somebody backside, it changes a lot of things.
Sure.
You know? And there's a lot that's happening. You know, you got to read where the defender's at and where to put the ball, and it all happens so quickly. You know, you put your foot down, you're ready to rip it. Sometimes the elbow drops a little bit. You have to decide, like, what arm slot to bring it out at, and you know, that's one of the joys of playing football when you can do that and do it consistently. And, you know, that's what we're working on, obviously, and that's what I need to improve on is consistently delivering the ball where it needs to be. But, yeah, it's crazy.
I think that's one of the cool things, too, is, like, even a guy like Tiger and obviously us, I mean, just coming off of our rookie year, like, everyone has so much that they can get better at, whether you're Tiger Woods or us, too. You know, it's – and, you know, Michael Jordan, Kobe, they'd all say the same thing. You know, they're all trying to get better every single day, and – you know, they're never at that peak of where they want to be at. And I think as long as athletes have that mindset of just trying to chase what their next best step is all the time, I feel like that's kind of where you want to be. And I feel like a lot of these golfers are kind of, you know, in that mindset.
What inspiration do you draw from that, from seeing the best be the best and knowing what goes into that?
What I can draw is like seeing how locked Tiger, like how locked in he is. Like when he's walking out there and he is eyes forward, eyes on his ball, trying to think about what next to do. And his laser-like focus is just like, it's unreal, like how much mental toughness that he has.
Back to what separates excellence from the rest. What separates excellence from the rest in your job?
I think it's because once you get to our level, the NFL, like everyone has talent. I think it's all mental. You know, how much are you preparing? How much do you study in the off season? Not just study, but how much work are you putting in to really be the best that you can be? And really for us, it's about, I think a lot of it's staying healthy, which I think both of us can, you know, without a doubt say we need to improve on. But I think just getting your body right and making sure that you're healthy. Obviously there's some things that you can't control, especially in the pocket with those guys chasing you around, but I think that's one thing. And then the other thing, like I said before, is just your mentality, kind of what you're thinking going into a game, you know, mentality in terms of your preparation and, you know, kind of what you're thinking going into a game, how you kind of want to attack it.
You noted being nervous, just putting your ball on the ground with four people watching. How do you think you would feel if you were on one?
Well, I'm playing that Tahoe tournament.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So
how's that going to go?
I'm just going to tell, as soon as I get up there, I'm going, everybody just take five big
steps back.
Yeah, at least five.
I feel like that'll make it worse.
It might.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be locked in. I'll be ready to go. I'm going to see what I can do. If I can just talk to Tiger for 2 seconds and
leave.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm very nervous about it. I got to get my game kind of stepped up a little bit.
What? See, you guys have to prepare too much. You can't play that much golf. What position in football produces the best golfers? It has to be kicker.
Kicker?
It has to be kicker. All they do is kick it.
That's very true.
They have a lot of off time.
But
for sure.
We're comparing quarterbacks to golfers and rotation and hip drive and throwing your hands. It's very similar to throwing.
Wow.
You know, it helps a lot. That's why I think most quarterbacks.
You don't kick a golf ball.
I know you don't.
I've been telling
ball.
Sam this. Most quarterbacks play golf. Like it's just kind of a thing. Like you
the
have to.
The single most important aspect of being a good golfer is time. Kickers got more time
they
than you
do. They got that.
They do have more time.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, how many of them are golfing and how many are playing video games?
Kickers play a lot of video games?
I mean,
Stephen I'm guessing Hauschka. That the Jets kicker.
Ping pong
Stephen
Hauschka
is too busy playing or doing yoga and Pilates. And, but he does play a lot of golf. I've heard he's actually pretty good.
How much do you guys get to play?
Well, so last year I didn't play at all. You know, during the season you can't play.
Sure.
Especially in Buffalo. You know, courses closed down there pretty soon.
Kind of cold up there, man.
But during OTAs, we're Monday through Thursday, and we're done right around 12:30 every day. So hopefully we can join a club up there in Buffalo and start chipping away.
What's your handicap?
I'm like right around 14, maybe.
That's pretty good.
A little more.
So you guys just unveiled those new uniforms. They are green, man.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are really green.
Master yeah. green.
Master
that's
green.
Where I'm going. Somebody's on the same wavelength
There's
with
the plug.
Me.
Yeah.
What trophy? All right, you guys are after the Lombardi Trophy every single day. That's what you're working for. What trophy even compares to the Masters Green Jacket? You're allowed
In
to say
all
the,
sports.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's iconic. It stands alone.
No, yeah,
there's nothing quite like it.
Gold jacket would be pretty close to a green jacket.
It would
in
be
that
pretty
sense.
Close. It would be. I can't thank you guys enough. That's so fun. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a blast out there, man. What like if. If you, as someone who's done this before, were going to tell him what was about to happen today?
He's going to spend a lot of money in the pro shop. For sure. Last year, I probably spent more than I want to admit. I promised too much stuff to too much people, you know? And I feel bad if I don't do it. You feel
Spreading
obligated.
Yourself thin, man.
Because you can't get this gear anywhere else. It's all exclusive, and it's really cool stuff.
That's the beauty of it. It's so funny when you go in there. I was in there on Thursday, and... you know why I was in there on Thursday? See, you're smart. You wore a hat. I went in there on Thursday because, as a fellow ginger, I was getting cooked.
You got burnt. A little
cooked,
burnt. Yeah.
Cooked. So I was going
you
to try to
bring your, you didn't bring your SPF 150?
Well, I did, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It was hot.
It was really hot. And I was going in there to try to find the Nick Saban, like, sun
Straw
hat, basket
yeah.
sun
hat.
And I couldn't find them. They either sold out of them, so I went with the standard like baseball hat and tuck my ears in there. Yeah. Ears, they just stick out and the sun likes them a whole lot. But
did your hair stay up after you took the hat off?
Oh, man. Nothing's going to
you
stop.
You got the flow today.
That spectacle. It's a whole lot of flow.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of flow.
You guys rock, man. Thank Appreciate you so it. Much for your time.
Thanks,
Enjoy
Marty.
The Masters. And I can tell you guys, I saw it firsthand how they get treated. Just like everybody else here at the Masters, we stood together at Amen Corner and just watched golf. And it wasn't just Josh and Sam Darnold. Our buddy Cole Swindell, the country music star, was there with us as well. And everyone just got to hang out and enjoy the best in the world do what they do. Really fun. Now let's head over to my conversation with someone who interviews the best in the world at what they do as soon as they finish doing it. CBS reporter Amanda Baliones is the voice and the face that you see chatting with the golfers as soon as they exit 18 each day here at the Masters. Here's my conversation with Amanda Baliones. You have the unique position of interviewing the golfers, the participants, as they exit the course on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
It's a very unique position because you get them first.
Yes.
What do you hope to accomplish during those moments with those guys?
Yeah, I think it varies on the player and the situation, right? So sometimes there's a one particular shot, and that seems to happen a lot here at the Masters, right? There's just one shot that you're like, if I can just get them to describe this in a way the viewers at home understand how insane this was, my job is done, right? And then there are other ones where maybe nothing super dramatic happened, but it's putting them in a position to set up for something dramatic, and you just hope that they'll be willing or ready to articulate the meaning of that. You know, I think the Masters is just so meaningful, and it feels bigger than any other tournament in the world. So my goal, especially here, is to get the players to honestly open up about how much it means to them.
It's interesting too, in our profession, I have a similar one to what you have. We're only as good as they are receptive.
Yes.
If they are receptive to our questioning, then we can look very good. Right. And then conversely, it can go the other way. But I wonder what your preparation is as you enter something of this magnitude. How do you prepare?
Sure. I am the queen of over-preparing. I have always felt like you can never know too much. You can never have too much information. And that kind of frees you up then to kind of go with the flow with their questions based off of the player's answers. Or if maybe they're not super open, you can kind of throw a curveball their way, and you find sometimes that'll loosen them right up into maybe changing their perspective a little bit. But for me, I find the best things to do is to obviously watch all the tournaments, even if CBS isn't covering them, I am still watching every single round, reading the transcripts from especially the final round leading into the Masters, and then reading every single transcript from this week, making sure I know everything they've said. There are some buzzwords that the players are using continuously. I find that if you're able to use those words to them, you get a better response, because they feel like, oh, this person's on my wavelength, but really I'm kind of cheating and I'm just reading what they've been talking about, right? So it's just little things like that, understanding what their history here is at the Masters. I was just talking to Justin Rose, and he has 2 runner-up finishes, but has never missed a cut here, 13 for 13. And pretty I good. Asked him which one he was more proud of, and it made him laugh and really think for a second, because you could see he didn't want to be proud of runner-up finishes. He wants a win, right? But on the same token, the more he talked about it and thought about it, there aren't that many people that can say they've played that many Masters and have never missed the cut here.
It's impressive.
It's unbelievable. So, I think just the little stats, too, are very helpful, depending on the player, if they're number-oriented. But, just reading everything you can, watching everything you can never let you down.
Did you press him? Which one did he say was his
favorite? I did. Thankfully, I know Justin Rose well enough to know he would have a little bit of fun with it. Now that I'm thinking back, I'm not sure if he actually gave me an exact answer.
This is not shocking, Amanda.
Yeah, I think it was more so I think it was the runner-up finishes, but he didn't want to say that he was proud of the runner-up finishes, because you should never be proud of second. But us mere mortals at home are like, I would pay so much money to say I have a runner-up finish here at Augusta National.
Just to start.
Right, or just play.
Right.
Just play the course.
Just to have the opportunity to be here as a competitor,
right,
and be in the arena that the vast majority of them, if not all, spent their entire youth dreaming of.
Yes.
On some random course near which they grew up. So you have the great blessing, as I do, of working with tremendous broadcasters. Mm.
Yeah.
And we interviewed Jim Nance on the very first Four Please Now Driving podcast, and his perspective and insight after more than 3 decades of covering this tournament was remarkable, and I learned so much from him. I wonder what you get to sit in production meetings with him.
I do.
What do you learn from his perspective?
I literally cannot say enough about Jim Nance, and I think that has been one of the coolest parts of this job, is like you said, he's a legend.
He is
someone that I have always looked up to, and never in my wildest dreams thought I would be able to call him a friend, right? A peer. Like I still will never call him a peer, because I'm like, no, we will never be on the same plane. Like you are Jim freaking Nance, right? But he is so humble, and I'm sure you got this from him too. He's so down to earth and so understanding of how he's so grateful. He doesn't take one day of this for granted, which I think is incredible for how long he's been doing this and how many he's done. The biggest events in the world, he's covered the biggest sporting events, and not once has he ever sounded like he's jaded or doesn't appreciate the position that he's in. And he is so willing to help at any given moment. He is so encouraging. He wants everyone around him to succeed, which I think is how he's reached the point that he's reached in his career.
All of us fail. Especially, one thing about our respective jobs is you're out there, it's live, it happens, the world is watching. And if you do make a mistake, most of us are very driven people.
Right.
It consumes you.
Yes.
Well, I wonder, these years later now, how did you grow? What did you learn from that moment?
I learned to trust myself, which was a lesson that has been long in the making. I also think that comes with age, right? I'm 32 now. So probably if I would have had that moment of quote unquote failure in my 20s, I probably would have just caved. I think that really would have done some serious long-term damage. But instead, it taught me that, okay, I need to trust myself first and then take the instruction from outside people, right? Even if those are people that you trust, if you aren't comfortable with something,
absolutely,
your comfort level on live television is the most important thing. That's and right. When you don't trust yourself in your instincts on what the right thing to do is, that's when bad things happen. So I think it was actually a very important lesson for me to learn very early in a, you know, in it on a different level that I've been reporting on. Golf is different, right? I've been covering it for almost a decade now. So when I do make a mistake, I'm not as hard on myself because I know what I'm talking about. I have that confidence here, and especially with these players. When you get into a new realm and you're kind of pushing your comfort zone for the first time in almost a decade and you fail, I think that is where your character is tested and you kind of see, okay, where do I go from here? Am I going to back off or am I going to learn from it and keep pushing forward?
That's wonderful. Congrats on all your success.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed chatting with Amanda about what it's like interviewing the golfers as soon as they exit 18, because I have a bit of knowledge of what that's like. All of my years in NASCAR, I would interview the drivers as soon as they got out of the race cars. And I can tell you there is a very distinct challenge in that, because those golfers are still thinking about what just happened on the course. Something that might be great, something that they're frustrated about, shots they want back, and their minds are still churning with those emotions and with those thoughts, having just exited the arena. Thanks so much to Amanda for her perspective on a very unique job. And thanks to you guys for listening to Four Please Now Driving, the official Masters podcast. This is the penultimate edition of the Masters podcast. The next time that you hear from me, we'll know who the 2019 Masters champion is here at Augusta National. Someone will have a green jacket on his back on Sunday night. Thank you so much for listening, and good night from Augusta National Golf Club.